They've long been used for news coverage. They're increasingly being used by medical personnel, the military, and people with the means to use them to commute. Incoming, they are helicopters, although people who use them often call them airplanes. Over 7,000 of them, including Marine One, the president's, are made by Sikorsky, which has built the presidential helicopter since the days of Eisenhower, 1957 to be exact. Last November, Connecticut-based Sikorsky was acquired by defense giant Lockheed Martin, which instituted Dan Schultz, a former VP and GM of a Lockheed division, as Sikorsky's new president. In our ongoing segment, View from the Top, we speak to those who helm companies big and small. Today, Dan Schultz, who often literally helms the company product. He flies it. And now he's merging two cultures who've long worked together, but now one owns the other. Dan, welcome.
Well, thank you, Robin. I appreciate you having this interview with me.
Well, and we know Sikorsky is based in Stratford, Connecticut. It's very much involved in the community there. It runs, you know, Boy and Girl Scout camping trips on its front lawn there. I mean, are there any cultural issues of blending one with the other?
I'd like to tell you about what I think is the core of our business with Lockheed and with Sikorsky, and that's about innovation and inspiration. Our founder, Igor Sikorsky, really put out the challenge of trying to save lives, and it's been our touchstone here. We have a saying that we bring people home everywhere, every time, and so it's something that we really believe in. So we have new products like the Raider, which is a helicopter that can break all the speed records going forward. We're pretty excited about those kind of development programs, and then also building the helicopter for the president of the United States.
Well, we know that in the fall you began the work on replacing the presidential helicopter. I want to ask you about that, but you say, you know, one of the mottos, one of the missions is to bring everyone home every time. And as you well know, that doesn't always happen. And most recently, two helicopters collided, both were Sikorsky's. 12 Marines were killed. Now, there's no reason that's been found for that collision yet. But what happens to a company when that happens?
Well, I want you to know that that is the airplane that I flew when I was in the Marines, the 53E. And I want you to know that every person in Sikorsky feels the loss of that helicopter when they crashed. The results haven't been identified yet, and the accident investigation is still going on. But we immediately reached out to our customer and said, anything that we can do at Sikorsky to help, we're standing by and are supporting the military in their investigation.
It's got to be sickening.
It is always a difficult thing for also for the families. And I want you to know that Sikorsky feels their pain just like the families do themselves. It's a tough time for everyone.
Yeah, well, with that in mind, we're reading about this huge burst in spending on helicopters in the military. The military is cutting back in so many other ways, but will be spending on helicopters as the Pentagon shifts to a more fleet-footed force. And when I'm doing some of the reading in the military journals, one of the concerns is that the creation of the helicopters is moving ahead of the people who are able to work on them because helicopters have become so advanced. Your thoughts on that?
Well, one of the good things about advancing the innovation in helicopters is we're also improving the reliability and maintainability of the helicopters, so it's easier for people to maintain them. And we're driving down the cost per hour of the helicopter. So we charge our folks here to come up with innovative ways to make things better. We have one of the most reliable helicopters in the commercial world with the S-92. We have an S-92 that has the same safety record as a commercial airline. So when you get on an S-92, it's just like if you were getting on a commercial airline commuting to Washington from Connecticut.
Well, speaking of which, I found an article from 1984 in the New York Times in which they talked about the use of helicopters by businesses increasing. You know, people, corporate executives with offices in the suburbs around New York City relying on helicopters to get to the city and other places in the Northeast. And there was a lot of concern about the noise, about the safety. Are you concerned that the air is in certain corridors is getting too crowded?
Well, you know, it's like everything in the United States. Building helicopters for commercial use has been one of our goals in Sikorsky, and we have a company that provides service sort of like a NetJets. It's called AAG, where they actually can rent helicopters, charter helicopters to take people in and out of the city. There's a certain amount of satisfaction flying in a helicopter as you're going over a very crowded highway going into the city. I personally have flown the S-76D, is one of our commercial helicopters, and you and I can sit in the back of that helicopter and talk just like this. It's so quiet, and it's almost like commuting to work in your car.
This is what we hear, as we said, you're doing the new replacement for the presidential helicopter, that it is so quiet that the president can speak in normal tones. How do you do that? How do you make it so quiet? I mean, I've been in helicopters over the years, and you have to wear the big headphones on them, you know, when you go out right. with, let's say, the Coast Guard to see a rescue mission, or you can't hear yourself think.
Exactly. Well, see, military helicopters are really designed for the maximum amount of lift that they can provide, and they have a different mission. So in the commercial helicopter world, we've taken rotor dampening down to a new level. We've worked on blade flap. That's a noise that the helicopter blades make. We've insulated the cabin, and we've really done a good job of making sure that the acoustic signature is so low. And we're working on sound deadening as well throughout the helicopter design.
What's your biggest concern about competitors?
Well, you know, it's not that we're indifferent to the market space, but what we believe in Sikorsky is taking our engineers and challenging us for the next generation. What are we going to do next, and how do we fill our customer needs? I was out there the other day, and we had an engineer walk up to me and said, hey, Dan, I'd like you to come out here and see an airplane we have, an S-76. It's sitting out here on the runway. He picked up an iPad, pushed the button, airplane started up. He moved the little cursor on the iPad. The airplane came into a hover. I hate to admit that it actually hovered better than I think I could hover, and then moved it around the airfield and then landed it.
Well, it's interesting because it was suddenly a helicopter drone. And we were wondering, are you worried about drones replacing helicopters? If a helicopter's ferrying a special package, you're not going to need a helicopter if you have the drone.
Well, see, you're talking to a pilot as well, and you know I can remember when we first started flying, we had simulators came out. Pilots were very afraid of simulators, thinking that we wouldn't be able to fly as much because we would do all of our training in a simulator. And today, you wouldn't think about having a pilot trained unless he was working in a simulator. So, what we look at in automation, and the word drone has a different connotation than what we're working in Sikorsky with. Is we're taking airplanes and taking the workload off the pilot. So let's say the pilot gets in a very difficult situation where it's in high sand and dust environment. He can push a button and the airplane will automatically hover and hold him in that position. So it's more like an advantage to him than it replacing the pilot.
And by the way, since you do fly, how hard is that to hold a helicopter in a windstorm?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. When I was in flight school, we used to have a goal when you first had your first flight, which you had to stay in the state of Florida because it's hard to move in three dimensions. You have your hand is on the cyclic, your other hand is on the collective that goes up and down, and then you're pushing rudder pedals at the same time. And it's sort of like chewing gum and rubbing the top of your head at the same time. It gets a little bit challenging, but once you get it down, you have that capability. The other day, I got a chance to fly in the new 76D, our commercial helicopter, and I felt like I didn't even have to use all the different pieces because the helicopter today is much more automated.
It's like going from a clutch to an automatic.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very simple airplane to fly. I felt it. I felt like I had never didn't need any training, and it was so simple to fly for me.
One last question: we mentioned how important Sikorsky is to the town of Stratford, Connecticut. And now Sikorsky's been bought by Lockheed. Are you staying?
Oh, yes. Our headquarters is still here in Stratford, Connecticut. I'm actually looking for a house right now to buy or to rent, one of the two. I've been searching for areas right here. I'm looking forward to being here. It's I got to tell you, it's a great place. I love fishing and I love the sound. So for me, it's a lot different change than Washington, D.C.
Because you know GE left. So.
Yes, GE did leave, yes.
But you can say Sikorsky will stay.
Sikorsky's staying here. We've been here a long time. This is our heritage. We're not going anywhere.
Dan Schultz, new president of Sikorsky, which was just purchased by Lockheed Martin this past fall. Dan, thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin.